5-year-old boys often tend to get pushed towards picking up sports or playing with toy cars. When Aaron Dworkin was 5, he was playing the violin. And by the time he got to college, Dworkin was an accomplished violinist. That's also when he grew frustrated by just how few Black and Latino classical musicians he saw around him. So he put aside his own dreams of becoming a world-famous soloist and created the Sphinx Organization. The group helps bring into classical music more artists of color, artists like Chris Jenkins. Now, he attended the Manhattan School of Music through the Sphinx Music Assistance Fund. He's also a laureate of the annual Sphinx String Competition. I'm joined by both Chris and Aaron. Gentlemen, welcome to News and Notes.
Hi, Farai.
Hi, Farai.
So, Aaron, how did you come to play the violin or even know about classical music at such a young age?
Well, it was interesting, actually, for me. My mother, my adoptive mother, I was adopted when I was 2 weeks old, but my adoptive mother was an amateur violinist. And when I was 5, she kind of really revived her own interest in the instrument. She heard a recording of Nathan Milstein playing the unaccompanied Bach, and it really kind of reinvigorated her sense of the instrument. She started playing again, and I thought it was, you know, the coolest thing I'd ever seen, and wanted to play, and was very lucky to be able to start with one of the great teachers, Vladimir Grafman.
Did you ever feel isolated as a child or even as an adult player?
Unfortunately, yes. I originally grew up in New York. When I was 10 years old, I moved to Hershey, Pennsylvania. And so when you're 10 and you've got a big afro and you play the violin and you live in a town with one Black family and you, it can be a little ostracizing. But in a way, I look back, I wouldn't want to relive it or parts of it necessarily, but it also did bring me very close to my music and to the instrument.
Chris, a couple questions. First off, when did you start playing? And secondly, how did you intersect with the Sphinx Organization?
Well, I first began playing violin when I was 7 at the Bloomingdale School of Music, which is actually where I teach now on the Upper West Side. And my first encounter with Sphinx was actually, Aaron probably doesn't know this, but it was with a poster in the basement of the admissions building at New England Conservatory, where I was a master's student. I saw this poster advertising a competition for Black and Latino string players, and I had been recently having some conversations with my father about the importance of being proactive with my music and entering competitions and, you know, trying to put myself out there. So I said, I'm going to enter this competition. And I entered. That year, I didn't get in. I said, well, I'm going to enter again. And the next year, I got in. And then I was a semifinalist, didn't get to the finals. Then I entered the next year, and the same thing happened. And then the third year, I finally got in and got to the finals and became a laureate.
That's a great story of persistence. And Aaron, what kind of persistence does it take? And how many Blacks and Latinos actually end up performing classical music?
Well, you know, unfortunately, and this is why one of the reasons why the work that we do is so important, is that nationally it's a little over, 1.5% of America's orchestras are African American and similarly Latino. So we're not talking about a situation where there's kind of a small underrepresentation. It'd be nice if we could increase it a little bit. It is very dramatic, and unfortunately, most of those numbers have been static for many years. To give you kind of anecdotally, the New York Philharmonic in the early 1960s got its first African American, Sanford Allen. And today there's still only one. The Chicago Symphony some years ago, about 4 years ago, hired an African-American, the first in the history of the orchestra. So those are, kind of anecdotes behind those statistics, but they are very, very stark. And the kind of persistence that you see and that Chris represents and that is represented amongst many of our laureates is an example of what it takes. Whether, you know, you're a minority or not, you know, it takes that level of persistence to be successful, I think, in any field, but even more so in classical music, which already is so segmented by society, which is a key problem we try to address. And then beyond that, some of the obstacles and barriers that minorities do face pursuing a professional career.
Chris, you play the viola now. What kind of opportunities are there for someone like you? Is this a good field to go into?
Well, there are many fantastic things about it. Financially, it tends to be a very difficult field. I would say right now, you know, at this point in my life, I find that a number of my friends who I've been playing with for a long time are starting to quit because their realities are just too difficult financially to deal with, and they're tired of being poor. But the kind of opportunities that are available, especially through Sphinx, have been just fantastic. I mean, I had an opportunity to play with the Guarneri Quartet in one piece. I've had opportunities to sub with the New York Philharmonic. I sub on Broadway now. Those kinds of things are really entertaining, and those are experiences that I would never want to give up. But I do wonder how long I can go for until I land a big audition or find a way to really support a family.
Aaron, what's up ahead for you guys? You just celebrated your 10th anniversary. What do you see ahead for your organization?
Well, of course, we want to continue to have an impact on the stark numbers that we see in terms of participation in classical music, not just in orchestras, but amongst audiences. We want to increase the awareness within our community about classical music, about the legacy that Blacks, African Americans, and Latinos have in classical music, going back to contemporaries of Mozart, and that this is an art form that not only should be embraced by our community, but in which there are members of our community that excel. We also have one of our great annual features is our upcoming concert at Carnegie Hall, which will be coming up Tuesday, September 25th at 6 p.m. And this concert features our top laureates. So we're talking about the top musicians from around the country joined together as the Sphinx Chamber Orchestra. We'll also be featuring the Harlem Quartet, which is a Sphinx Chamber Ensemble comprised of all first place laureates of the competition. And so we certainly invite people to come to see that concert, not only to, of course, appreciate the music that's delivered, but also get a sense of what might be possible for their children, their students, and work that they might be able to do to help further our mission.
There's that joke, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. Chris, what kind of encouragement, just very quickly, would you give to someone starting out in this biz?
Starting out in the business? Well, I think the one thing I discovered that when I left school was how much, well, two things that are so supremely important. One is being really, really prepared when you come to rehearsal and really practicing to make sure that you know everything that you're supposed to do. And also being very personable, being easy to get along with and socializing. I mean, a lot of the concerts that I've played in the past few years have come through Sphinx connections and through spending time with people and making friends. And that's how you put yourself out there and get known so people will call you.
Well, Chris and Aaron, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Farah.
Chris Jenkins is an alum of the Sphinx organization. He currently maintains a teaching studio and joined us from our New York bureau. Aaron Dworkin is the founder and president of the Sphinx organization, and he spoke with us from member station WDET in Detroit. That's our show for today. Thank you for sharing your time with us. To listen to the show or subscribe to our podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. No spaces, just nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for our newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org. News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Tomorrow, voting in Georgia? Better get an ID card.